some of this, particularly if they watch news, if they understand English.
How many of them now have television?
That's true. And most of the radio, they do have the Navajo radio out of Gallup, to which many of them listen. There's not too much of an opportunity to learn this. Perhaps in schools, field trips would be an answer, or a partial answer, mm-hmm. to help them see what the world is like and what is happening. It's something they can go to and watch. And this is what
Indian children do very well.
Yes, they do, and make them aware of the other world and what's happening. A culture is made up of language primarily, I suppose, because language expresses thoughts and attitudes and beliefs. And this is what a culture is. It's expressed in other ways. Diet is an expression of a culture. You eat this because you belong to this group. You eat beans and tortillas because you're a Chicano. You eat chitlins because you're black. And you eat fried bread because you're an Indian. Now, this doesn't mean, certainly, that other people don't eat these things, but these are identifying foods and diets, and children need to recognize in school, when you talk about a diet in school, we have the nutritional posters that show orange juice, bacon, eggs, and toast, and a glass of milk as a good breakfast. And these children don't have this kind of breakfast. We need to have posters that show the foods they eat and select the ones select the foods from their diet that are good for breakfast foods, that are good for luncheon foods, so that children can really get a good diet just choosing the things that they have.
From what's available.
Yes, from what is available to them, so that they're not downgraded.
Well, there are lack of refrigeration on the reservation because of lack of electricity in many places is one reason for their differing dietary habits.
Yes, and economy is another factor.
Right.
If you can't afford some of these things, you don't get them. But why should this be held up as an ideal if it's not attainable? Because there are foods in their diet that are right, that are good.
Some of them are much richer in iron than many of our
things. Yes, we talk about whole grain cereals and whole wheat bread. Well, maybe some of their atole, some of the things they eat are just as good for them. Then their clothes are different. And this makes children feel different. Of course, if they go to a non-integrated school, it doesn't matter.
Right.
There's no difference. But if they go to another school, it does. And the ethics and social patterns are quite different, too.
Are clothes provided by the BIA different from the what we consider Anglo clothing, or do they give them jackets and overall pants or corduroy trousers?
They have the same kind of clothes that other youngsters do. Do you remember Mr. Benally that used to come down and get the clothes for the Indian children?
Oh,
so many jeans and so many shoes and so many nylon jackets and so many flannel shirts and in this assortment of sizes and everything, just the same.
So that the tribe is then trying to assimilate them into our pattern.
And all they have to do, as I understand it, is apply for them. You know, they have a real clever thing in the Navajo pattern. A long time ago, this is just an observation that I've made over these years, the Navajo used to have many children had a poor speech, and they used to say, well, this is a Navajo speech. And it's a slurred type of speech, indistinct. And it comes, a lot of people think, a lot of medics think, from vitamin D deficiency, rickets, because it does affect the musculature of the tongue. And the kids develop what you call a lazy tongue, and they slur their speech a little bit. Now this, if this isn't corrected, this goes on as a poor speech. And it used to be known when I first came out here, well, that's kind of a Navajo speech. All Navajo kids talk that way. I was talking with Mrs. Main, who's been with the Navajo program for many, many years, and she said, you know, I don't notice that kind of speech anymore. I wonder what's happened. Well, I think I know what's happened. The women are getting vitamin D prenatally, as they did not before. There are not nearly as many children born with rickets. The Navajo tribe will give them a free layette if they'll report to the clinic within the first 5 months of pregnancy. And they get all the vitamins and all the things that the dietary help.
And then
that
also,
they can use if they will.
Right.
It's
our
an inducement.
Our powdered milks and this sort of thing are also vitamin enriched, and I believe have added
yes.
vitamin D, which would...
Yeah.
I think they use a lot of powdered milk, so therefore in their diets, with drinking powdered milk, which I imagine is the form in which they take milk, mm-hmm. would add to the...
Yes, they could use that in there without the refrigeration
right.
and all. They could use this. I believe it's made a difference because there are not so many of those children in school who have this speech problem. Now, it's something that can be corrected. But it takes an effort on the part
right.
of the child to correct it. Any time I think that a child is secure about his own culture, then he feels free to go on and learn another. The goal now seems to be bicultural. And this is good.
Right.
Usually it takes about 3 generations for any Chicano or Italian or Greek or Indian, maybe even longer for an Indian group, to get into the mainstream. Because they have to go through the period of rejection and then making a choice and being bicultural. I've noticed the 2 different attitudes of the Indians in the last few years. One is the Indian power, or the militant power, where the differences are emphasized. And the students are urged to look back over their childhood and see what was wrong with your school. What bad things did the white people do to you? What terrible things happened to you? And this may be good in an attempt to find the problems, but it's also bad because I had a student, a campus student, who had no such feelings and until she became involved with the Indians. And she said, they're always trying to get me to look back and see what people have done to me or what was wrong about my school. And my parents are a little upset about it because they say I'm developing a chip, which I didn't have. And they think I don't have a right to have because I've been brought up and raised in an integrated school.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, sometimes I find myself beginning to think that I was deprived, and I really wasn't. And then you have the other that's based on the Indian religion, that we're all brothers. And it's high time that we remembered that we are brothers, that we're brothers not only with humans, but with all animals, all trees, the sky, water. And we all have in common Mother Earth, and we all have a common creator. Now, there is a movement among Indians with this goal in mind, and I believe it's a stronger one, and it's the one that probably will make for progress, and accepting of each other, respecting each other's cultures and each other's goals, and that we all must live in unity. This is the Creator's admonition to us, and I would like to see this followed
yeah.
rather than the militant one. You hear a great deal more about the militant.
Well, we have the silent majority, and it's the militants who are more
yeah.
in the minority, but yet more vocal, and they're heard more in other elements besides the Indian.
I believe that we can achieve this unity and this biculturalism that the Chicanos, the Indians, the blacks all want.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll educate the whites and the other cultures to accept each other, each to respect the other's culture, and then this will make all of us bicultural in a sense. Helping the blacks, the Indians, the Chicanos, to respect what they are, respect their heritage, be secure in it, and then be able to join the mainstream as a bicultural person.
pride in their heritage will give them more security and, as we were discussing before, mm-hmm. enable them to feel that they can go out and become a part of another culture and learn about another culture as long as they feel secure in their own.
I heard some students talking about it the other day, Indian students, and I heard, well, if we just had a chance to choose what we wanted to do, maybe we don't want to go into the white culture. Maybe we want to be Indians, and we ought to have that right. Well, if they grow up respecting their culture and knowing it, and other people do, then they have that right. They
right.
can. They can go to school, and if they want to go back to the Hogan, that's fine. No one is going to argue with them about it. They can do this. But if they want to join the mainstream, they also can
have
do that.
Have that opportunity. Is there a feeling between generations as to the values of integration or assimilation between the two cultures?
I don't know. I anticipated this question, and I had a chance today to two college Indian girls from another village mm-hmm. were by for lunch. And I asked this very question of one of the girls, and she said no, she didn't really think so. Except for the very old ones. The old ones were quiet and passive, but the other younger adults were with the young people. This was one opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never asked that of a Indian child before. I also know from experience, you know, I have two teenage Indians in my own home, youngsters I've raised, and I sense a generation gap with their Indian parents as well as with me. But one of them said, we really don't have any gripe. We really don't have any reason to do this, but everybody's doing it, and you have to protest something when you're a teenager.
I guess all teenagers throughout generations have done
yes.
this.
So I felt that this was really not it was a need to do what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, as she said, when I think about it, I really don't have to do this. I really don't have any reason to complain.
I had heard a story one time of an older Indian woman who was determined that her grandchildren were going to get an education because she had said that when she was a youngster, her parents had needed her for economic reasons to herd sheep and tend to household chores. They had therefore kept her and hidden her under the bed when the BIA men came around to gather the children up to take them off to school. But she felt that she had missed a great deal by not having an education, and therefore she was just bound and determined that her grandchildren would get off to school and learn.
Grandma, this old Indian, used to say, there is no going back. There's only going forward. The Indians who talk about going back are wrong. It can't be that way. It always has to be going ahead.
That's true in
it is
every
true.
Culture, though.
Yeah.
That's very true. Astute of her, too.
Yeah. She was a very wise old woman. You know, she knew 5 languages.
Goodness. What languages did she know?
She knew English. She knew Hamas, which was the Towa.
Mm-hmm.
She knew Zia. She knew Hopi. She knew the Caries. She knew Spanish.
That was 6.
That's right. That's and she used to go to French class with one of the girls because she liked it, and she understood a little of it, she said.
I barely get along in my own language.
She was educated by the sisters. She was taken into the mission, the sisters, when she was 3. So she learned a great deal in those early years with those people.
Why was it that she went into the mission? Her parents felt that she should...
I suppose so. You know, her mother was very young. Her mother was 12.
Yes.
My goodness.
She was a child herself.
Yeah, she really was. Though in her culture, maybe she wasn't. But at that time, they needed people. And as soon as the girls were old enough to reproduce, they were married. So that they would have children to build up their village again. They were down to 105 people. And that wasn't very many.
And also health practices and were not what they are today, and many infants died,
oh.
I'm sure, which would be one.
Grandma told me that she'd given birth to 16 babies, but she raised only four. And her comment was, superstition and ignorance killed my other babies. We didn't know any better.
Did she believe in the practice of your Indian medicine man, or did she realize that this was just a part of the religion and not necessarily a medical way of...
Well, Grandma was an herb woman herself. Oh. She was the woman in the village who knew most about healing, and many people would call her in the middle of the night to come and massage. She used her hands a great deal to rub and to use herbs.
Well, I'm not so sure the herbal medicine isn't actually...
Well, I think
valid.
So, and I feel very badly that all of this is lost. I felt strongly that some of her people should have written down these things. There's no written language. I didn't know the language,
mm-hmm.
so I couldn't do it. But if I urged some of her grandchildren to do this, but it was... They didn't really see the need, and now they wish they had done it. To find out all they could from her about the herbs she used, and as one of them said, well, but we have to use the Indian name for it. And I said, that's fine. Use the Indian name, but you see what it is, then find out from the botanist what it is generically, and you will know. And so this is lost, and this is too bad.
That is.
So she believed, certainly, in the natural healing. And she used to go on fasts, and she used to take... we laughed because she was very sick and was vomiting, and one of the girls at home was so upset about it, called me from school because Grandma was real sick, and she didn't know what to do, and I must take her to the hospital immediately. So I did, and I took her to the hospital, and when we got there, she laughed and she said, we can go home now. She said, I took sage because I wanted to vomit. It's the time of year to do this, to clean out my system, and this is what I wanted to do, but I didn't want to tell anybody else, so now I will tell you and we can go home. So we did. We went back after she'd had her emetic, her spring emetic.
Mm. Are there any other comments that you would like to make?
I don't think of any at the moment.
Well, I certainly thank you for the time that you've given us.
Well, it's been a pleasure.